ready to get started? Good afternoon. I hope you enjoyed your lunch. So for the second part of our day, we are seeing presentations from the Environment 490 course, which is Montreal Urban Sustainability Analysis. And the focus of this course has been to assess Montreal as a sustainable city. And we were doing this through research, through discussions, and through field trips. So whenever possible, we really made an effort to learn from local experts or practitioners in the field. And a remarkable number of people were very generous with their time and insight so that we could do that. We learned a lot about what works and sometimes what doesn't work, and how to navigate those trade-offs in actually trying to implement and initiate sustainability projects. So the topics for the course, which you'll see presented by the different groups this afternoon, were waste management, urban agriculture, green spaces, and transportation. And we used those topics as opportunities to focus in on our assessments of Montreal's progress towards the goal of becoming a sustainable city. Now, part of that work involved curating maps of the city of Montreal. These maps were made by our students, and they explored Montreal according to the topics I just mentioned. And we used those maps to open up new terrain, to think about sustainability challenges, to identify research questions, and finally to propose new sustainability projects for campus and for the city at large. So I invite you to welcome the first group. Waste Management, Margot, Maud, Ryan, Laura, and Tracy, please. Thank you very much.
Bonjour tout le monde. Bienvenue au cours d'analyse et développement durable de Montréal. On est l'équipe qui analysait la gestion des déchets pour le projet. Hi everyone, welcome to the Montreal Sustainability Analysis class. We are the waste management team. Unfortunately, Ryan won't be able to join us today. The rest of the team is present. My colleagues, Margot, Lara, Tracy, Ryan, and myself wanted to create a comprehensive map of waste management initiatives in the city of Montreal, which would be user-friendly, especially for students. What this means for us is first to define the types of waste which are produced in our city, then to display on the map key locations for the user to better understand where our waste is going. We saw it as an effort to demystify waste management in Montreal while addressing some of the citizens' concern about the location or even the nature of waste. Hence, this is the map. I know it's a pretty big scale, but you can see all the locations of about 25 different initiatives throughout the island. Smaller scale. About the scales, four scales. The points were selected in conjunction with a wider scale in mind, so that there were several options for the reviewer in regard to the service fees and transportation accessibility. For each category of waste, we broke down four extra scales to refine our search. Student-run initiatives, public initiatives, lucrative initiatives, and community-run non-lucrative initiatives.
So what is waste, you ask? This is waste. So our group decided to split up the components of waste, and each person went and then found the initiatives that were focused to that specific topic. When we did this, we realized that our method fit Montreal's master plan of waste management, which incorporated the five R's, or in this case, the little landfill thing at the bottom, which I'll explain later. So first you have overarching initiatives, which encourages people to reduce the amount of waste they produce. Then we have reusing, such as thrift shops, recycling, which we included e-waste, which is the recycling of electronic materials, as well as composting, which encourages people to reduce the amount of energy they produce, hence the little recover category there. And then finally, we have the residuals, or landfill category, as this model shows, which incorporates all the other types that we don't fit into the other categories, like the garbage, wastewater, hazardous waste. So, although we did find many waste management initiatives in Montreal, there still remain many more initiatives just waiting to be discovered and explored. So now I will turn it over to Margot.
Yep. Okay, thank you. Okay, here's the race, 3 minutes, that's starting. Okay, so here's the context. You are walking in the ghetto. April, end of exams, beautiful day. You see it's sunny on the picture. It's a Tuesday, so recycling day. And you see all those recycling bins, and you're very curious. You see, you go check in the recycling what's there, and what do you find? Ta-ta-dum. Course packs. What are those course packs doing there? Why are there so many? How many course packs do you think that are produced every semester? Well, you have to ask the right people. You call the bookstore. They tell you that they print course packs for 450 courses every semester. So I did a rough calculation, times 100 students per average per course, times 100 pages per course pack. That's 4,500,000 pages printed every semester. So now I was thinking, how can I convince you that 4,000,000 pages is too much for every semester? I thought, well, maybe soil erosion, you know, you're cutting trees, how many trees, ecosystem services, all the things I could talk about. But then I thought that something that could convince you more is habitat change. Oh. So all those species left alone after we cut a lot of trees. So we have problems with the course pack. There's a lot of initiatives in place already. You know, Megill Classifieds, Facebook, Kijiji, Craigslist. We also have the Megill Book Fair. But the problem with course packs is that the content changes every year. So students are not really excited about buying course packs that were produced the year before because maybe the content changed. So here's my initiative. Change the kind of course packs we have and create a more centralized system to exchange them. So we could have a kind of binder course pack that you can change the content if the articles change over the year. And here again, we would have a website where students can enter the course pack they would like to sell. They can enter the details about the course pack. The teachers can upload the syllabus so people have access to they can see if there are modified articles in those course packs. And also provide a meeting point for people to want to exchange the course packs, because right now some initiatives have... It's very complicated for students to coordinate with other people and to exchange the books and get the money and everything. So this would be kind of a simplified method online. And then here at Megill, we would find a point where they could meet. And finally, maybe you can't read that well, but this would mean potentially less printing. And my initiative would like to see if students and professors would be willing to work in a common effort to add to this database. So I would have to every term reevaluate this initiative to get feedback from all the stakeholders. So less energy needed to process the paper, to recycle it, and less pressure on current sorting facilities. So yeah, that's it. I guess 3 minutes is over. I don't know if you have any questions. After? Okay, so next.
Okay, so you pass me my turn. Okay. Yes, that's better. Rebonjour. Hello, everyone. So my name is Maud, and my project's named All for Compost, Compost for All, Normalizing Compost. A context. An ambitious plan. The Waste Management Master Plan. This is created by the City of Montreal to restructure the waste management practices on the island from 2010 to 2014. Part of the plan was to recover a minimum of 60% of organic waste by 2014. While this is, in theory, a noble goal, in practice, when at the end of 2011, they assess the progression of the implementation of the plan, they realized that all recovery rates were improving except for organic materials. This part of the plan was extended to 2019 so that they could potentially meet their goals. So things are moving much slower than they planned. With this in mind, I started wondering why, of all types of residual material, it is a recovery of organic material, which I will call compost, that is causing trouble. After reflection, the reason seemed to me that it was because composting is not yet perceived by citizens like a norm. Composting or collecting organic residues is often seen, even today, as the activity of the environmentalist, not as the daily activity of everyone. Hence my question, can we normalize compost? My project. With this in mind, I wanted to come up with a project which was informative, action-engaging, and practical. The project, Promotional Organic Waste Collection Bins in Parc Laurier and Parc La Fontaine, two eminent green spaces on the Plateau Mont-Royal Borough. Imagine having the city install aesthetically pleasing organic waste collection bins next to all the current garbage bins in both parks. The bins would be used as educational tools. They would be set up with a sign displaying informational and engaging material, explaining the waste management master plan, explaining methods and benefits of composting, giving information to citizens who would like to start this practice at home. I think it is a way for the city to make a statement. Montreal composts. It is a practical way to reach out to the citizens. This is the Plateau Mont-Royal. In yellow is where the borough actually offers a curb pickup services for organic waste to the citizens. The stars are just locating the two parks where the bins would be installed. The relevance of the project. Coming back to my question, I think this project would be a way to assess whether we can enhance sustainable behavior through effective waste management. It will be easy to monitor results by comparing the amount of organic waste recovered versus the amount of waste in the regular garbage bins, thus getting feedback from the change in citizen habits and behavior. In short, it is an easy way for the borough to talk to citizens while assessing direct results of the information given, and at the same time collecting an additional amount of organic waste. It is a way to see if compost can be more than a trend, but a norm. Thank you.
Hi, so my name is Lara, and I think that to start talking about my research project, I think we can all agree that technology has distanced us from the waste we produce daily, and especially from wastewater. I mean, usually when we talk about waste, what we visualize is the solid municipal waste we throw in the garbage every day. And actually, working on this project, a lot of people has asked me, like, water, does this even count as waste? Like, does it? And it's a valid question. And I personally decide to answer yes to that question. So we've seen earlier today that Montreal used to be crossed by various streams that don't exist anymore. And that those streams, before getting ditched, well, eventually became very polluted because people would use them to dump their daily waste and industrial waste as well. After a burst of cholera in 1832, I mean, Montrealers couldn't ignore the issue of disease and infection spreading caused by this carelessness towards the water. So most of the rivers got converted into sewers, and eventually it just permitted the island's inhabitants to gradually forget about its wastewater and its impact. So the island of Montreal today disposes of one treatment plant, so one mega plant. It's the largest water treatment facility in North America. And to give you an idea, it treats every day a daily volume equivalent to the volume of the Olympic Stadium. So its construction started in 1974, but it's only by 1996 that all of Montreal wastewater was actually diverted towards the plant and treated towards the plant, because before that, our wastewater was just directly released in the St. Lawrence River, the Rivière des Prairies, and you can imagine the environmental impacts that would have on the ecosystems. So Montreal's current wastewater system is very centralized, and it made me wonder, would Montreal benefit from a scattered network of individual recycling wastewater facilities? So I hope to attempt to try to answer this question by the implementation of my project. And I feel such a structure could be very interesting to install on McGill's campus at a smaller scale of one building, which would be the Trottier building, which is a recent addition inaugurated in 2004. It's McGill's recent addition to McGill's Tech Square. So there are many different for the implementation of such a project, of course, there's many factors to consider, such as cost, the space available, the effluent criteria. So the water treated, so the wastewater treated, what do we want to use it for? Do we just want to make it drinkable, or do we want it to just use it so it comes back to the sink? So those are all questions for my project that are crucial, but would make it all the more interesting. I would envision, I guess, the implementation of a membrane bioreactor
which is the combination of a membrane process and a suspended growth bioreactor. All of this for the objective to conclude all those objectives would be to raise awareness primarily to fight this common being of out of sight, out of mind, that this relationship that we usually have with our waste. So a change of scale, so at a building, and eventually for the future that we could translate this to municipal wastewater treatment plants, for example, save water, energy, money, and also present McGill as a pioneer of in sustainability initiatives, as was mentioned earlier today.
Hello, I am the Mini Clean Team. So as you may have noticed from our sustainability map, most of our initiatives were clustered around the middle of the island of Montreal, leaving us with two major gaps, one of which is the West Island. There are initiatives in the West Island at the moment that focus on waste management, such as curbside recycling and composting, but not many people are actually participating in these programs for many reasons. One would be having concerns about composting, managing the smell, and if it is outside, whether or not it will attract local animals. Another reason would be because they are afraid of recycling something that shouldn't be recycled. That might lead them to steer away from recycling altogether. Being considered a suburban region, extra challenges arise for the citizens of the boroughs in the West Island, such as accessibility and policies that differ across the boroughs. For example, not being able to find secondary recycling facilities or bylaws in place prohibiting people from using their lawns as a startup compost pile, to name a few. This indicates that we need many more awareness and education programs that will inform people on how to properly separate and manage their waste, what is considered recyclable or compostable, and why waste management is important. A good way to do that would be to educate young children. By teaching them how to properly manage their waste, this becomes engraved in their minds and they'll be more likely to take action. Psychologically speaking, children can retain more information than adults can, and their creative imaginations allow them to think of many different ways on which we can reuse things. So the project I'm proposing is a community education program in the borough of Beaconsfield. That's the one. Yes. That is geared towards younger children. This would include practical exercises, field trips and site tours, guest lectures, literature materials, and in collaboration with different elementary schools. An important question that comes out of a project like this, sorry, is what are the benefits and impacts on children's understanding and behavior towards waste management when provided with structured educational tools and awareness programs? This would be measured by giving students questionnaires to fill out. The questions would include something like, what is waste management? How many garbage cans do you have in your house? What is compost? And do you have a compost bin at home? The plan is to start small at the individual level and expand these types of programs eventually to changing the behavior of the entire community. The children themselves may even trigger a chain reaction effect by getting their families involved and the families then telling their friends and so on, like a pyramid. And finally, the children will be able to transfer the knowledge they obtain through this program onto future generations, thereby ensuring that people of the Montreal, or at least of the West Island, are moving towards a sustainable way of managing their waste. Thank you.
Questions, or if there's no questions here,
you can stay here. Well, take the question, and just before we start the question, I want to, as you've seen, each one of them had to prepare a project and present it in the model of a three thesis minute presentation. So, first question.
Thank you. All of them are really good, first of all, and for the course pack one, I guess the question that arose for me in listening to that is, what is the possibility of even just going digital?
Oh, there is, maybe, can you hear me?
Yeah.
Okay. So yeah, there is a possibility and it's already starting. Actually, Concordia is going to be the first school in Quebec that's going to be starting to sell, already started to sell digital course packs. And our course pack at our bookstore at McGill is going to start next semester. And they're aiming to progressively digitize most course packs. But when I went to talk with the printing services and also the bookstore The people that worked at the bookstore were telling me there's such a high demand for paper course packs because students love to read real books and not necessarily online, that they don't think that it's going to be a big majority of the courses that got, are going to want digitized course packs. Yeah, thanks.
Hi, this is just a comment for Tracy, because I live in Beaconsfield. When I was on the Environmental Advisory Committee there, we actually, this would be maybe 5 years ago, we did go into the elementary schools to do the kind of thing that you're talking about. So you might want to just find out where they left off and touch base with it. I could even tell you what schools they went into and that kind of thing.
Cool, thank you. I'm in, well, like she said, this is just a 3-minute thing, but I'm in collaboration with, hopefully, the school board, the Lester B. Pearson School Board. I have sent emails to them as well as my local recreation center. They have yet to get back to me on that. So, yes, I have raised those questions to them so far. So, hopefully, I get those answers soon.
So this is for Mode, but good job, everyone. In terms of the compost, what would be done with the waste from the parks?
You mean once the compost bins are full?
Yeah.
Right, that's why. So, okay, because of the 2 minutes, I didn't go into details. The reason why the map was set up the way it was and the reason why I chose these parks was because while they're doing the pickup, the municipal pickup on the borough, the responsibles would also go through the parks because the parks are like pretty much on their route, the Parc La Fontaine and the Parc Laurier. That's why I chose these two specific parks because it doesn't add much more chores to the city actually to implement it that way. So it would be picked up every Tuesday like it is right now.
Okay, one last question.
For Laura. I'm not a waste management expert, but was it considered to be more efficient when they made that plant in the east of the island? Was that sort of the main justification for it, to make this huge plant? Because it sounds like the biggest in North America. Montreal isn't the biggest city, so it must be just enormous. What was the sort of basis behind building that?
I think that when the plant was constructed, there was at first an urgent matter because Montreal has the largest wastewater facility in the North America, but it was also the last large North American city to even get a wastewater treatment plant. So there was this urgent matter, and probably even trying to make up for all those years where they were actually putting their wastewater back in the St. Lawrence. And this treatment plant actually, during its construction, because it's so massive, received a lot of distinctions. And recently, and the treatment plant is actually only taking care of primary treatment. And in wastewater management, you can go up the way up to secondary and tertiary treatment. So the treatment plant is huge. I'll give you that. But in terms of efficiency, it actually releases a lot of pollutants back into St. Lawrence still. There are improvements that are urgent still and that are planned for by 2015. So ozonation should be implemented in the plant. For example, I'll give you an example. Like in 2004, the Sierra Sustainability Defense graded the efficiency of the plant, and it got an F. Mm-hmm. And I was surprised. I was surprised too. I didn't know, but the improvements are on the way. So,
well, thank you very much. Yeah.